Good morning, everyone. I hope you're ready for the word this morning. God's given me a word for today, and I want to just echo what my wife was saying, that, you know, we miss all of you. We want to be all together, and hopefully in the next, you know, few weeks, we'll be able to gather again, those that are comfortable doing so. And we're going to continue when we do to record our service and put it online as well. So we're going to continue to do that so that those and put that out on YouTube and Facebook, because church, we need to be able to reach as many people with the word as possible. So we want to make sure that we take all these things that we've learned now with doing things virtually, and we want to just add that to what we had before. That's what we should always do. We should always be going up. We should always be increasing in every single area, including in this area. Now, you know, a couple of things here before I get into the message is that, you know, we see some of the things that are going on in our nation, and it's been, you know, happening, and some of and with the pandemic, with the coronavirus, some of that we're starting to come out of that a little bit, which is good. Which again, why I'm looking forward to us getting back together. One of the other things that has really faced our nation is the fight for justice, really, for equality, the fight that we see on our hands. And so many of us are fighting. And I want to say to you that are fighting that fight, that's a good fight. That's a good fight to fight. And but let me say this. Any fight that is fought will always be more effective with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we can do things in the natural. And this is, I think I mentioned a little bit of this last week. We can do things in the natural, and it will only take you so far. But if you fight any fight that you're fighting, if you fight with the Holy Spirit and you have a cause and you're fighting a cause, when you have the leading of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have words that are full of wisdom. You're going to have words that appeals to the ears of the hearer. You're going to have words that causes people to look on the inside, that causes people to pause, you know, take a minute and pause, you know, to capture someone's attention. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's there. He individually, when we live our lives and we're living out our Christian lives and we're going in our walk, are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Because our words will be wise in every single area. The Holy Spirit, get this, is ultimate wisdom. Amen. He's ultimate wisdom. And so before I say anything or do anything, why wouldn't I want to go and consult the Spirit of God and say, Lord, what are you saying? You know, before I get up here on Sundays or before I do a little short, you know, talk on Thursdays at 12:30, before I address people like that and everybody together, before I do, I'm praying. Amen. I'm praying. I'm seeking God. God, what are you saying? Even when I go and I know I'm ministering to someone individually, Lord, what do you have for them? What do you want me to say to them? Because I want to be effective in my fight against the enemy. I want to be effective in reaching people for God, for reaching people whatever cause that I'm fighting. So as you fight, you want to stay in the leading of the Spirit. And see, here's the other thing. When you stay in the leading of the Holy Spirit, you won't go off course. Amen. That's right. Because see, you can get off course. In anything that you do, you can get sidetracked. I'm trying to remember the movie, which one it was, and it's the one with the squirrel, where they go, you know, Up. It's the movie Up. You know, Pixar made this movie. And so, you know, the dog, you know, is talking. Of course, it's a cartoon, so dogs can talk, you know. But the dog is sitting there talking, and in the middle of talking, squirrel. You know, because he sees this squirrel, and he kept doing it because he just getting distracted by the squirrel going over. And so when I get distracted, I'm like, oh, that was a squirrel moment, you know. And I just think squirrel, you know. And I found myself the other day, you know, I'm playing a video game and on a team and we're playing together and we're all supposed to go to this one place and somebody else was going off and I just found myself saying squirrel. And they're like, what are you talking about? You know, because they're straying. It's like, focus, Danielson, you know. And amen. Well, God is good. You know, don't shove aside the Spirit. Staying on mission is a whole lot easier with the Spirit of God. You know what? Before we continue, let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you. You're giving us wisdom. You've given us your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would just submit to that. And Lord, we'd be led in everything that we do, everything that we say during the times that we are living in right now. Lord, I thank you that your Spirit reigns supreme. And Lord, that we can speak with wisdom. And Lord, I know when we do that, we'll have the victory. And Father, right now, I thank you that our minds and our hearts are open, ready to receive your word, what you have for us here today. Lord, I thank you that all distractions are gone. No squirrel moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And we've read this, you know, before we said, and just a part of it here. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, the faith is so important. And we know that we start off with a measure of faith. Everyone has it. Everyone gets it. And from God, it's bestowed upon you. You have a measure of faith. And so we're all given this measure. Now the question is, what are we supposed to do with it? And we've had this measure of faith, and we've been talking about the importance of faith and growing our faith and so forth and so on. And so I have a question, though, for you on this measure of faith. The question is, and this is hopefully on screen, what is the difference between believers who obtain the promises of God and believers who struggle to obtain the promises? So see, if I've been given faith, and I know that there's promises in God's word, and all his promises are yes and amen, and I know this, and I see it, then I look around, and it seems that some, they don't necessarily obtain that promise that they see in the word that they desire. But it seems like others, they do obtain that promise. So what is the difference between the two? And you may look at others, and they're seemingly blessed, and maybe, and they are, you know, and we think, well, I guess I just wasn't good enough to be blessed. I got a measure of faith. I believe in God, but I see they're blessed, and I'm not. I must not be good enough. God must love them, or God must love them more. You know, have you ever thought that? God must love them more. And here's the thing. Nope, that's not true. That's not true. It's not the reason. It's not the answer to the question either about the difference. It's not that one person is better than another. One person is gooder, you know. They can behave better than everybody else or what have you. They're just such a good person. But see, we see in Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And so many of us have seen this verse and we've read it before. But this is so important because what does this mean? God is no respecter of persons. The phrase respecter of persons in the Greek means one who discriminates. So what it's saying is God doesn't discriminate. He's not saying, oh, you're better, you know, than this guy over here. So, and I like him better. He's just got a better personality. Man, you're so awesome. I'm going to bless you. And he blesses you. He looks over and goes, oh, man, he's just so annoying. He won't shut up. You know, God doesn't do that. It's not like, he doesn't do that at all. Look, in the New Living Translation, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. You know, just another verse. God doesn't play favorites like that. He doesn't go, oh, you're so awesome. You have such this wonderful personality. Oh, I love you. And then over here,
Oh.
You know, and then we just, and he doesn't bless them. You know, in the movies, you see a lot of times, you see the high school, the, you know, movies or TV shows or whatever, and you've got the popular kids, the jocks, you know, and the jock is sitting there and he's going down the hallway and he's got a girl on each side, both on cheerleaders, the perfect looking girls, so to speak, and he's going down and he's got the perfect hair, kind of like mine, and he's got all this going on, and then you know, the movie, though, is not about them. The movie is about the so-called loser, right? The guy who looks kind of dumpy, or the girl, maybe she doesn't have the makeup on like her, you know, the for she doesn't have friends. He doesn't have friends, so really, no. Like, it's like she they don't have the makeup, and they don't have the hair fixed like mine, nice and pretty. You know, they don't have that. And so, like the popular kids. And so you've got this two different scenarios here, and the movie's about, you know, everybody who looks like they got it together, they're jerks, you know, we got bad feelings on them, they're awful, and then this, you know, the loser guy, you know, maybe he gets picked on, or maybe she gets teased, however it is, and you can see how that in the school system like that, people play favorites. Amen. They play favorites, and maybe it's a drastic, you know, look at it, but really it's not. This is what happens in our school systems. Many, you know, our kids, they play favorites. They go, okay, this is the popular kid. You know, this is the one who's great. Everybody likes him. And then we've got bullies. We've got all these kind of different, you know, differences. And not just differences. Some of them are not good. Some of them really aren't. But then, oh, some are great. Some are wonderful. And they've got that halo around their head. But God doesn't play favorites. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't discriminate at all. In Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me that to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Here's Paul. He's talking to the Romans and he's saying, hey, don't think like you're all of that. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So now we see the whole verse in its context. And we see what it's saying. Don't think you're better than somebody else. And there aren't like, oh, these people are better and these people are not. Because everybody has been given a measure of faith. So, what is the reason? Why is it that, you know, oh, these people over here are blessed, and these people over here, oh, seemingly they're not blessed. What's the answer? Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now look, understand, we've been justified. That's what verse 1 says, right? We have peace with God. And then he says in verse 2, we have access by faith. We all have a measure of faith which gives us access to the Father and gives us access to everything Father God says I can have in his word. Amen. So I have access to that now. So what's the answer? The answer to the question is this. One has developed and grown his faith more than the other one has. Amen. That's the answer. I mean, look, we've been going over that, and we've been doing that. Well, TJ, why did we get all this long and say all this? Because I wanted you to see that God plays no favorites. He doesn't discriminate, and that you have a measure of faith. And guess what? You've also got access to God. You have access because of that measure of faith that you have. You have access by faith into the grace, which is the ability of God, which is God, his unmerited favor in your life that brings the blessings. You have access to that. Just the same as I do. I don't get more, and I'm not more blessed because I'm the preacher. No, it's because I have access to faith. If we put that scripture back up, Aaron, verse 2, Romans 5, 2. Through whom we have. I got it. And see, sometimes we need to say that. I got access to Father God and what he says in the word by faith into the grace where I can stand. Hallelujah. Just like he said in Ephesians 6, that we're to stand in the evil day. How are we able to do that? Because we have access by faith. God shows no favorites. You can have access and you can get the promises of God the same as me. Hallelujah. We are all the same. God doesn't reward someone because he likes them more than somebody else. He rewards the one who has built their faith, the one who is standing on the word of God. Now, let's look at chapter 6 in Hebrews, the faith chapter, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now look at this. Isn't it what we're talking about and what we've been saying? Why is one blessed and the other seemingly is not? And we look here, we say that God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder, but who is he a rewarder of? Those who diligently seek him. In other words, those who are in the word, seeking out God. What do you say unto me through your word? What do you say to me through prayer? They're building their faith. Amen. And when you build your faith, you get rewarder. The word rewarder is one who pays wages. How many like to get paid? Amen. I like to get paid. Right? God pays wages. When we look at that here, he's a rewarder. What's the coin, though? It's kingdom faith. It's faith. Hallelujah. Faith is the title deed. You could look at it that way. So you don't have to see the thing. If you have the title deed, then you know it's there somewhere, right? You present the title deed before God, and he will exchange it for what it represents. Hallelujah. Because why? Because of the great exchange that took place on the cross for the penalty that was paid. And now, because of that, I'm in the family. Hallelujah. Faith, look at this statement, faith owns things. Amen. Faith owns things. You get it. You know, at home right now, just say, I got it. I got it. And we've got to build our faith in that. Mark 11:24, just to bring it home even further. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you what? You will have them. Well, if I prayed for something, like if I prayed for this to come to me, and it came to me, I've got it. Therefore, I possess it. Faith owns things. And God says, you've already got it. You may not see it with your natural eye, but you've already got it. And you've got to believe. That's right. Faith possesses things. That's possessing. That's saying, I've got it. Faith possesses. When God sees that kind of faith, that title deed, I'm telling you, church, heaven will impart for you. It says the doors of heaven. This is one reason why faith is so important, church. It is so important because faith owns things. Faith says, I got it when I see the scripture. Here's the thing. We believe and we receive, and we know that's true. But what makes it hard is what we see with our natural eyes. What makes it hard is what we see with our eyeballs. Because we look and it starts to get us in a panic. You know, something happens, a trial, a tribulation, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, and we begin to panic. So, church, we need to get delivered from panic. Freaking out. We've got to stop panicking over everything and live in faith. You can't say, I got it on one hand and then start panicking when something goes wrong. Amen. You know, that's not going to happen. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to work out. So how do we prevent panic. Number one, don't get hooked. Don't get hooked. Look, this is where we've got to practice emergency procedures mentally. Mentally. Because see, here's the thing. The enemy wants to hook you. He wants to get a hold of you. And he's going to throw all kinds of attacks your way. That in all different shapes, in all different sizes. And it's like throwing out that, you know, going fishing. You throw out the bait, you sit there, you know. And see, the enemy, he wants to hook you. You know, you start nibbling on that thought of doubt. You start nibbling on that thought of unbelief. You start nibbling on the thought of fear, you know. And the next thing you know, you've taken the whole thing, and he just pulls up and he hooks you. Don't get hooked. Here's what I mean. Look at this statement here. Don't live in presumption. Live in faith. Chew on that a sec. Don't live in presumption. Live in faith. What does that mean? Don't presume that every single thought that comes to your mind is true. Don't presume that everything you see with your natural eyes or hear with your natural ears is true. Just because you perceive something in the natural realm does not mean that God can't turn it around and that he's about to turn it around in the spiritual realm. All you've got to do is you got to believe. You've got to take that access that you have been granted by faith. Now, look, it's not easy. It's hard when trials, when tribulations come. It's hard when you're looking with that natural eye. But see, you've got to understand that what things look like with the natural eye is not always the truth or the last word. It's not over till it's over. Don't just presume defeat just because of how things look, because that's the moment that the enemy gets his hooks in you and he's got you. You can't presume that. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 5:8, the word of God teaches us that we have an adversary. It says, be sober, be vigilant. We've got to be on guard, church. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. The adversary, the one who opposes us, is looking for a way to defeat you at all times. He wants to get his hooks in you, thereby taking you out. He doesn't want you to stand in faith. He doesn't want you to have that access to God, to that grace by faith. He doesn't want that for you. What he wants is to take you out because he hates you. And so, church, we've got to avoid panic by not getting hooked by the enemy. How do we do that? By realizing a few things. Look, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, and Paul's speaking here, and this is like the prayer that he was praying. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask, and this is what he prayed for this church, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And let's go back to verse 13, because it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, in this prayer, there's all kinds of truths and principles. We could literally preach a whole message just on these verses and breaking it down. We don't have time for it, but I want to tell you something that would build your faith is to go do that. And look at these verses that Paul did and what he said and what it means, the inheritance that you have. I mean, that's some good stuff, and you may want to go back and look at that, because we're supposed to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom. Hallelujah. And see, when we go and look at those words and we start breaking that down, that will build your faith. So be sure and do that. Our focus this morning is going to be right here on verse 13, because he's delivered us from the power of darkness. And so when the enemy, he's trying to get his hooks into you, one thing we've got to realize is that we are not we're not under the power of darkness. We've been delivered from that. And so when those thoughts come, when the enemy comes, when the trial and the tribulations face us, we've got to understand that we're not under the power of that thing that's trying to attack us. We're not under that power. We're under the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I am under him. I am in faith. I have access to faith through Christ to God. Hallelujah. Here's the other thing we've got to realize. This goes with it. Ephesians 4:27. That's why Paul said this. Neither give place to the devil. See, we're not under the power of darkness. We're not to give place to him. What does this word place mean? This word place is any portion or space marked off. Oh, I like that. Let me mark myself a line. Devil, you can't cross it. I'm marking off my space right around me. I am protected because I'm under the blood. Hallelujah. In NASB says opportunity. I'm not going to give opportunity for the devil. The Amplified Bible translates this verse this way. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give him no opportunity. That clarifies things a little bit right there. I'm not going to give an opportunity for the Lord. I'm not even going to entertain his voice. See, when you get into the Word of God and you begin to know more and more truth, you begin to get built up. Then when a voice comes that's contrary to that, you'll know, oh no, that ain't the right one. Amen. And see, you're just trying to get your hooks in me. I'm not going to give place to you. But see, if you're not in the Word, if you're not in prayer, if you don't understand the Word, you don't understand the truth, and then the enemy's coming and he's talking to you, God's talking to you and the enemy's talking to you, you don't know the difference half the time. That's truth. That's truth. And the next thing you know, he'll have his hooks in you. And then you're wondering why that person, oh, they're so blessed, they're so blessed. Well, it's because the enemy's he's duped you in something, and he's got his hooks in you. And this guy over here, he's professing the Word. He's claiming the Word. He's in the Word. He's praying. He understands the truth. He understands his place in the kingdom, and he knows that all things are under his feet. Amen. Look at this. The enemy is looking for the only opportunity he has, the one we give him. That's it. I'm not giving the enemy any opportunity with space, with this space right here, my mind. It's off limits to the enemy. His thought can come. He's trying to get that hook in me. Nope, it's not going to happen. Where does the devil look when he desires to overtake us and bring destruction in our lives? He looks at the mind. He's trying to come and he's trying to hook like that. In other words, he goes fishing for a weakness and he uses temptations as bait. He's got that worm out there because he's been observing. He knows how you think to a certain degree because of your words, what you say, how you act. And when one of his carefully planned temptations, they come and they hook something in us, he proceeds to pull the weakness out into full view where it destroys us and others. What do I mean by that? Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's talk insecurity. Insecure. Maybe you're an insecure person because maybe how your childhood or how you grew up. Maybe you're easily offended. One who is insecure is a lot of times easily offended. And you have that kind of personality. Well, see, the enemy knows that. He understands that he will play on that insecurity. He will play on that. And he'll say, see how they laughed right there? They think they're better than you. You're lower. You're not this. You're not that. You know. Oh, the one that's huge with insecurity is the enemy comes and says, you're not good enough. Just that phrase right there. You're not good enough. Hook. You can't do that because you're not smart enough. Hook. See? And that's what he does. That's how he comes. Or maybe he uses shame because of something in your past, something you've done, and maybe you still feel regret about it, and maybe you still don't, it makes you feel like you're not worthy. And the enemy knows that. And maybe, you know, something starts happening and coming in your life, and then the enemy comes and says, see, that's happening because you did such and such. You cheated on your husband, or you cheated on your wife. You cheated on that. You know, you did that. Or remember how you lied to get ahead. Remember how you did, you know, just whatever it was. And he's trying to bring shame, and he does that hook. It's a hook. We've got to not get hooked by the enemy. The good news is that we've got the Holy Spirit. Amen. And see, we may be taken by surprise sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is never taken by surprise. So see, if we're in his word and we're relying on the Holy Spirit and we're praying and we know our position in Christ, then when that temptation comes to bring us into insecurity, shame, whatever it is, anger, whatever it is, we can cast that down because of the power that is within us. When we're living in close fellowship to him, he will show us things to come, including what the devil's planning to do. He can show us beforehand. Amen. I serve a God that cares and knows it all. So he knows. Glory to God. The power given to us by Jesus is greater than the power of the enemy. Amen. I'm going to say that just one more time. The power given to us by Jesus is greater than the power of the enemy. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, woo, that's good, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us power over all. Did you know the word hurt right there in the Greek means to suffer unjustly? The enemy can't unjustly cause you harm in any way because Satan has no legal right. He has no legal right to harm us because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He's got to hook us into something illegal. That's what he's got to do because he has no right to hook us legally. He can't get us on the hook for anything. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. We are in the family. And because of that, we have power over all of the enemy. Satan has no right. Amen. The second thing that will help us not to panic, and this is the last thing, keep your mouth right. Don't get hooked, Amen. And then keep your mouth right. Yeah. Now, let me tell you, when you're first faced with something and the first thought that comes to your mind is usually not the thought that you should spout out of your mouth. And let's just be honest. Sometimes we mess ourselves up. The thought comes and we are not quick to hear, or, you know, slow to speak, you know. We're not, all of a sudden, we're just, psh, we just say the first thing that comes in, we react. God doesn't want you to react to situations. He wants you to act on his word towards the situation. Amen. See, a reaction is fast, right away. What we need to do is capture the thought and go, Lord, what are you saying about it? We need to capture that thought and cast out the negative and go, okay, I see the situation, what's coming, and I know what I'm thinking right now, but God, what are you saying about it? And we need to get a word on it before we even open our mouth. Don't speak worry and doubt. Don't say things of worry and doubt. Speak the same thing all the time. Say what you pray without wavering. Say the right things all the time. Cast out the devil. Take him, you know, you can tell the enemy, tell the devil, get your hands off my stuff. Amen. Get your hands off my daughter. Get your hands off my son. Get your hands off my family. Get your hands off my finances. That's how we've got to speak to the enemy. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Look, you got to believe first before you talk. Don't confess that negative junk that comes to your mind or that the enemy tells you or just even your natural mind tells you when you see a situation that's hitting you. Don't give in to that right away. Don't mess yourself up. The first word thing that should come out of your mouth is, Lord, what are you saying about this? See, here in this scripture, Paul, he's talking about speaking the gospel. But the principle of speaking what you believe in all matters of faith, that's important. That's important. When you speak what you believe, you strip the devil of his tools that he uses in your life. Nothing can keep you down. You might get down, but you're going to hop right back up. Amen. You know, something may knock you over, but you'll get right back up. Why? Because you understand and you know what your rights are. You know what the Word of God says. You know what the promises are. The Lord has promised us health. The Lord has promised us that he would provide all our needs. The Lord promised us peace and joy, all of those, the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. God is good. That's all my notes. But see, what I think that the Lord is saying is that your faith is important. For you to receive the promises of God, for you to be blessed, you have got to build yourself up in the Word and in prayer. Amen. And you build yourself up so that you can be blessed and then you can be a blessing to others. See, we've got to start thinking in terms of others. Sometimes we're so caught up with ourselves and in our own situations, how we feel about something. Or what's going on, and we just get so wrapped up in ourselves and our own thinking that we're not thinking about others and allowing God to use us and minister to others. It doesn't matter what your status is, what color you are, how old you are, what sex you are. God can bless you and use you in ways that is just marvelous, that would blow your mind as long as you submit to the Spirit. Church, don't get hooked by the enemy. Keep your mouth right. Speak only the Word of God. I don't want the enemy to have a foothold in your life or in my life, in my children, in my house. He has no place. And faith, because I have built my faith, I know that he is under my feet. He can't do anything to harm me. And see, that's what I believe. And people will say, and they will look at me and say, you know, you're an optimistic person. And that might be true. But what's more than just being an optimistic person is I'm a man of faith. And that's not, I'm not bragging. I am just telling you, I know what the Word says, and I am not putting up with the enemy. The enemy knows where he can stick it. Amen. And that's just how it is. I refuse to give in to depression, discouragement, to anger. I might get upset sometimes, and I've gotten upset, but I will course correct quickly. I might get down, I'm going to get up fast. I'm going to start speaking his word because he has not given me a spirit of fear. Therefore, I'm not giving in to fear. I will have a sound mind. I'm not walking around upset, tormented in any way, shape, or fashion. And if you're walking around all day, can't, you know, upset, tormented, and all of that, you need to bring it to God. You need to see what God's saying about it. Bring it to him. Allow him, because see, God is a God of peace. Amen. And it's either you have it or you don't. And if you don't have peace, you need to go to his word and you need to get it. You need to go to God and get on your face and get the peace that you know you're supposed to have. The things that you're facing, the situations, the things you're believing for, I believe God will come through for each and every one of you. I believe he will. It may not look exactly the way you want it to look because, oh man, I can imagine a whole lot. And most of the time it don't turn out exactly how I was looking. But I know this, when the victory's there, I know it's there. And when you experience it, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And there's nothing wrong with seeking the victory. Don't fall into the enemy's trap saying, oh, you're supposed to be this meek, da da da. That's not what meek means. Meek doesn't mean be busted, you know, poor and all that. That's not what meek means. It just really means that we humble ourselves and we understand who we are. That's really what it means, biblically speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not supposed to think of myself higher than somebody else. And I'm supposed to be meek in that. When the blessings of God come, if he blesses me abundantly, I've got cars, houses, and money and all that stuff, I'm not supposed to think of myself higher than the guy on the street holding up a sign at begging for the money. I'm not supposed to think of myself higher than any of them. We're all equal in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were all created in his image. Church, I can keep going on and on. I feel the Lord. I'm just telling you that we're supposed to have the victory, and faith is so important. And we've got to make sure that we're not getting hooked by the enemy, hooked thinking that you're not worthy, because you are worthy. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are above. You are not beneath. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. These are the things that the scripture says. And when you understand it, and he says you're a child of God, and you really understand what that means. That means, just like in Psalms 23, it says, I shall not want. Therefore my God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. And just like it also says in Psalms 23, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That means that when the enemy is coming, and when those things and the trials and the tribulations are sitting there, I can sit with an unconcerned look on my face and eat food sitting right there in the face of it, because I know it's going to be all right. It's going to turn out okay. Me and God's going to give me the wisdom. He's going to give me the know-how. I may not even know what to do, but I can still have the peace of God sitting at that table, because I know it's coming and the revelation is coming, because I get revealed revelatory knowledge from God. I'm looking at his revelation to come to me, and I know it's going to come, and I am going to overcome, because that revelation comes. I will be victorious. And church, I believe you can have the same thing. Just get into God's word, begin to pray, get built up in your most holy faith, praying always in the Holy Ghost, as it says in Jude. We've got to submit to the Spirit of God, and then we'll know the difference from the voice of the enemy and the voice of the stranger from the voice of God. I know that I just want to hear God. I don't want to hear the enemy, because the enemy, he wants to just get his hooks in me, and he wants to pull on me, and that's going to hurt, and it's going to be awful, and it's going to be misery. God didn't call you to live in misery. He didn't call you to walk around discouraged and upset. He called you to live in victory and to be a testimony and example to all your neighbors and your coworkers, your friends and your family. Hallelujah. God wants to bring everybody into his kingdom, but he can't do it with a church that's busted and defeated and walking around moping. He's got to do it through a church that's victorious. And he said that he would build his church on the rock. Guess what? That's you and me. We are supposed to have that firm foundation. Let's get into the word and get it. Let's pray it right now. Father God, Lord, I thank you that right now we can build our lives on the foundation of the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that we have the power to overcome the enemy. We have the power to overcome the voices that come. Lord, I thank you that your spirit would show us the difference between the enemy's voice and your voice. Lord, so that we wouldn't get hooked by the same tricks and the temptations of the enemy. Lord, I thank you. You give us wisdom. You give us awareness. You give us a know-how to fight our battles and to fight it with you and submit it to your spirit. Lord, may we not fight in our own strength, but may we fight with you. Lord, because you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can fight for it and we can have it and we can have it and then we can give it away to somebody else. Lord, I thank you that you enlarge your kingdom through us. We say that we are willing, Lord, that our hearts are open, ready to receive from you. And Lord, as we receive, we will give, Lord, out to others, Lord. And we will just give of ourselves always, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.